Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Half of the people here. It's a very strange experience.
Oh my god, there's so many people.
There are people here, Craig. Yeah.
Well, welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, a definitive weekly news source. A definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays. And thank you for coming to our second live show.
Now, you all know The Gays Are Revolting. We put the G in LGBTQIA+. And we're here tonight to help you all be the best G's you can be. Except for my straight boss, actually, who's over there.
Thank you all so much for coming. Before we begin, the Gays Revolting acknowledge that Aboriginal Australians are the first people of these lands. We pay our respects to Aboriginal Australians past and present, and we recognise their continuing spiritual and cultural connection to the land. We're also super lucky and excited to be joined tonight by Trey Turner, also known as their drag persona Stone Motherless Cold, who will be on the stage having a little bit of a chat with us later. Talking about NAIDOC Week and all the wonderful work that they're doing in that space.
Yeah, and we also have a Q&A after the show, so if you can think of any questions during the show about us or our show or what we're talking about tonight, feel free.
Also, this isn't one of those pretentious theatre productions.
Definitely.
Free
not
to take photos, videos. Just yes. Remember to tag us at Gays Revolting Pod.
Yeah.
If I look good in the photo. Otherwise, I don't want to see it. Oh, actually, I just read my piece of paper and it told me it is time for us to read.
Yeah. Ooh, the library is open.
I need a drink for this.
Oh, boy.
An amyl.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
If it gets too
ready to go.
So for those of you who have somehow ended up here and don't know our regular hosts, we're going to introduce each other. And I'd love to introduce the wonderful Mikey, who has rushed into his engagement quicker than RuPaul into the next season of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, you bitch.
Oh, you need a drink.
Yeah, thank you.
Love you.
Thank you. Oh. And our next lovely host has had more emotional outbursts on our show than Chris Crocker 2002. It's Thomas. Love you.
An emotional guy.
And if his facial features were any closer together and his facial hair grew any longer, then he'd look like Taylor Swift in the new Cats movie. It's Kyle!
Wow. And everybody likes him, but he's the only person that can see it, just like the new Instagram update. It's Luke!
Hey!
So we have just celebrated our 1 year anniversary of doing our show, and we just want to say a big thank you to everyone for tuning in, and we love that you guys love the show so much, thank you so much for that. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
A big thank you, actually, especially to the 4 Patreon members that are here.
Really keeping us
afloat. It helps support the show. You get access to our bonus shows as well.
And it pays for our red wine, which
it pays for these drinks as well. It apparently means the world to us, according to the printout. It does. We really do appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
And also, don't forget, we're having a bit of an unofficial after party at DT's Hotel in Richmond. Has anyone been to DT's before? oldest permanent gay bar in Melbourne. Very exciting. Tabitha Turlington will be doing a bit of a drag show. Free, it's free entry for everybody. And if you show your ticket from the Gays Revolting tonight at the bar, you'll get a free shot. So, you know. We're going to go there and we're going to get smashed and fucked up and just forget all of the fuck-ups that we're about to do.
They're actually free flu shots, actually. So if anyone's worried about the coming months.
We have some really exciting topics to talk about tonight. We're talking about group sex parties, the Kinsey scale, trust and relationships, and we also have a really great interview with Trey Turner.
Yes.
And yeah, without further ado.
Let's get started. Yay! So we're going to start off. My topic's first, and I'm so excited about it. It's group sex.
Oh, boy.
Yay! So, and when I say group sex, look, we've talked a lot. I can't believe we're only 40 seconds into it, but we've talked about Red on Wellington before and other sex on site premises. Not so much that kind of group sex, more your organized group sex party. Mm-hmm. So usually at someone's house or a rented venue or something like that, Airbnb or something like that.
Real fancy
And when I say group sex, I think we're talking five or more.
Five or more. Threesome wouldn't be group sex. That's just
threesome's not group sex, no. But if you and your boyfriend want to try it out, I am very.
Hi, Duncan. How are you?
We can warm up to the group stuff later.
Do mirrors count?
Mirrors, no.
Okay. That's the closest.
In a hall of mirrors and yeah, wow.
The closest I've got is getting ejected from a hall of mirrors.
No, I want to talk. I want to talk more about organized sex parties.
Okay.
Now these can be ones where money is made. Mm-hmm. There's two really popular ones in Melbourne. So the reason I got really fascinated about this is I was catching up with a friend of mine and we did that awkward sort of. Oh, how's things? Yeah, good, just working. How's things with you? Yeah, good, working. Doing anything else? And he goes, well, I've started running this business where once a month we have sex parties. So it's called Saturday Sessions. Has anyone heard of this?
The one person out there.
A couple of people mumbling up the back. So there's apparently two major groups that organise sex parties in Melbourne. One of them's called Saturday Sessions and one of them's called Orgy.
Do you run that one?
Yeah, good name.
So the Saturday Sessions one is the one that I know more about because my friend's running it. So just to give you a bit of a breakdown of how it works,
Is there a code that people can use to get
to get a revolting, and have sex on their lovely koala mattress?
still plugging that one.
So the Saturday Sessions one that my friend runs, right? So it's an invite thing, but you can apply for an invitation if you haven't been invited. So there's a website, it's called satsesh.org, if anyone wants to check it out.
So
you
go on there
and you apply, you just tell them some details about yourself, you send some pictures and that sort of thing, and then they send you an invitation. Now, it's not necessarily, for only pretty people or anything like that. It's just that they try to have a good balance of people there.
Yeah.
Usually about 60 to 70 people. They rent it, so it's $25. So if you get the invitation...
60 to 70 people?
Yeah, 60 to 70. This is blowing your little mind, isn't it?
Oh, God.
And all naked and having sex.
How much cheese and crackers do you have to get for that?
So this one, 60 to 70 people. They rent, so it's $25 to go. Mm-hmm. And that covers booze and food. They do nibbles. I assumed my friend was running it so he could have sex with lots of people. I was talking to him about it the other day, and he said, no, I'm in the kitchen the whole time. Just like
in the kitchen.
He's got sausage rolls going in the oven.
Oh, God. This is.
I mean, party host anxiety, but Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. and booze covers your booze as well. Yeah. And also, so they rent an Airbnb, a different Airbnb every month. They always make sure. What?
Any Airbnb owners?
Oh, sorry. Is that a bad thing? I mean, you wouldn't want to do it in your own house, you know.
No.
So they rent an Airbnb.
That's a lot gross.
Of, you know, bodily fluids that they have to pay now. So, but and this is the funniest thing. So, yeah, it's very, very professional. The $25 covers the booze, the Airbnb.
Yeah.
They also supply condoms and lube. I found out today, though, that they don't pay for those because they have a partnership with Thorn Harbour Health, which is formerly the Vic AIDS Council. So they, Thorn Harbour Health actually gives them a whole lot of lubes and condoms. And also apparently like stuff like free iPhone covers and things like that.
What the hell?
Yeah,
so
I know,
did you get like a party bag when you go to these events?
And that's sitting on the kitchen bench where my friend's making the sausage roll. Cute. So if you know.
It's so funny you talk about sausage. The only like... The closest group sex encounter I've ever had was one of those Grindr, you know, I was quite hedonistic back in the day. Yeah. and thought, I'll give this a go. And I was getting messages, and it was looking like a group of like 10 to 15.
Yeah.
And thought I'd give that a go. Rocked up to this guy's house. It was not a... Airbnb didn't exist back then. So it was at the guy's house.
This is in the black and white days.
and yeah, and it was black and white for some reason. We didn't have colour. And no one turned up.
Oh, start getting suspicious that it was never going to be a group party and this guy just wanted to have sex.
It triggered me because there was a like tray of party sausage rolls. Right.
Did you get a sausage roll?
The last thing I'm craving when I'm about to eat an ass out is a sausage roll, you know?
I don't know, maybe it's like some I don't know. There's some correlation between group sex and party pies and sausage rolls.
Yeah. For me, they're more reminiscent of a 9-year-old birthday party, but you know, it sounds right. Yeah. So the Airbnb thing is an interesting element. So my friend was saying what they do is they get there early, him and the guys that he organises it with, and they'll pack up all of the items around the house because they don't want anything getting damaged.
Yeah.
They want to
photos.
Be respectful to the house. So, yeah,
so yeah. Respectful.
They pop them in drawers and whatever.
Don't
and
want then, any props used
and then
or anything.
9:30 to 10:30 is rock-up time. So you can't arrive earlier than 9:30 and you can't get there later than 10:30 because they lock the doors at 10:30. Okay. So 9:30 to 10:30, you arrive.
They lock the door like with people inside.
Oh, no, you're allowed to leave.
It's like, gee, but they're like, I've seen
they
this horror movie.
People like coming, you know, rocking up at 1 a.m. being like, oh, sorry, I'm late. So it's like you've got to get there between 9:30 and 10:30. You go to a room and undress to your, strip down to your undies and in that period of time. Socialise, have a sausage roll.
Sausage roll.
Have a drink or whatever. And then at 10:30, that's when they shut the door and everyone takes off the undies and that's when you start. And so there's different stuff going on in different rooms and that sort of thing. Now, this one has rules. So if you are looking at going to sex parties, I've looked up some tips and that sort of thing. One of the things that they say is find out as much of... about the party as possible because we all have different preferences for different stuff.
Make sure they're not serial killers.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to tell
some
you that,
into
but
that.
Yeah.
Some of us on stage have a thing for serial killers.
Yeah. Luke loves being choked. I'll tell you that, yeah. Generally it's advised that you find a lot about it about the party. So often the sex party scene is closely associated with the chem sex scene or the P&P scene, which is totally fine if that's something you're into. This party is a no drugs party, so you can have all the sausage rolls and red wine that you want, but no drugs at this
that's
party.
That's all the drugs I need.
Yeah.
Does that include amyl, though?
No, they specifically say you're allowed amyl. Fucking thank God.
I mean, you brought it on stage. What are you going to need it for?
Just, you never know. This party is a no drugs party. And the other rule that they have is that there's no piss play or scat play, but because they don't want to have to clean up the Airbnb.
Airbnb.
So that's really interesting. The other thing that I thought, I said to my friend, oh gosh, you must be making it. You've got 60-something people coming, $25 a ticket, party pies aren't that much.
Yeah.
You must be making a good amount of money. And he said, no, we don't. If there's any leftover money, we donate it to a charity.
That's
so
nice.
So they donate it to like Thorn Harbour Health, minus 18.
Yeah.
Or the,
yeah. Wow.
Orgies with a cause.
60 people seems like so much. Like,
Yeah.
I just feel like it would be so awkward just standing around. Like, is it just making like awkward conversation?
Well, no, some people like having sex. So no. I know that's...
No, but I feel like it's like... it's like that awkward... I feel like, would it be similar to that awkward stage when you're like trying to get into a lift and you're waiting, you're like, no, you first. Except the lift is like a person.
From what I understand, you can get several people in at the same time, just like a lift. Oh.
And like, do people meet people at these things?
Yeah,
like, we locked eyes and there were three people.
They've had six relationships that have started at these parties where they've gone on into having relationships, and some of them have become monogamous relationships. Some of them still come to the parties, but they're together now and they met at this. It's quite a romantic thing, really.
It's just like Lady Gaga says, there can be 99 people.
60 to 70, but
yeah. It just takes one.
It really, just takes one.
I'm doing the maths. I'm going, there's 150 people here.
Well, what I thought would be nice is if we all experience our first group sex party together right now.
Yeah. Oh, God,
sorry that wasn't on the invite, guys, but that's, yeah.
Some other tips for anyone that's thinking about going to sex party. Oh, sorry. So I was talking about the two different parties. So that's the Saturday Sessions party. Then there's orgy. So that one is an open door thing. It doesn't sound like my cup of tea, the orgy one.
Do
so
they call themselves the triple woe? Because that just gives me...
I don't know, but I love the name. I also think it'd be a really good drag name as well.
Orgy.
Welcome to the stage, orgy.
It has a ring.
So that one's an open door thing. You don't apply or it's not a curated event or anything like that. Has anyone done an orgy party?
don't have to say if you
crickets.
Don't want to.
No,
cool. No.
And that one is a drug friendly one. Now, we've talked a lot about drugs on the podcast. I love a bit of ketamine.
Yeah, all about it.
I gag for MDMA.
Oh, give me a line of cocaine.
I can smell that someone has cocaine in this room. And I'm definitely going to send you a DTs afterwards. Yeah. But I think we all four of us are sort of we sort of steer clear of the ice and the
The doozy ones, the bad ones.
Well, you know, it's personal preferences, that's something that I personally stay away from. So, apparently that's more common at the orgy party, so I might be going to that one. But I am very excited to be going to my first Saturday sessions next week.
So you haven't been to an orgy party at all before?
Yeah, twice. Many years ago. Not these ones, many years ago. On the days of Manhunt, when you had to log on a desktop.
Glory day.
Computer. and I couldn't afford... I didn't even have a credit card, so I couldn't pay for the... So you could only view, like...
Do they always
10
charge?
Accounts a day or something like that. Yeah, so you'd look real, because you could see the thumbnails really tiny for free. Photos. So you'd like look really closely at the screen to see to see if it was worth clicking on the profile before you did.
Tom actually pulled me aside like 5 minutes before we were about to go on stage and said, "Do you want to go to this party?" And I was like, "What party are you talking about?" No. And he's like, "The group sex party."
Well, he's gonna be in Thailand and as if he's gonna go. So.
I would say I'm offended, but that's fine.
Actually, Duncan, if you do want to come, it's not like he's going to run into you there.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and then, like, is it so awkward? What if you, like, run into people you know?
My friend that was running it said that quite often they'll have people rock up and then there's an awkward thing where there's a friend there. Or
a friend.
Or they're in an open relationship and their boyfriend's there.
Oh.
Or they're in a closed relationship.
Oh.
One time they had a guy rock up and they were in... a monogamous relationship and both of them were at this
I was time. Reading like some do's and don'ts. They said go with a friend, which I find very
well that's I read that too. Apparently he's not a friend. So.
Also, what one I found horrifying was saying don't wear good shoes. I didn't like that.
You've got 60 to 70 people coming at some point in the night. That's you don't have your good suede shoes on. Another footwear tip though that I read online. Now the Saturday session party, because they've got the guy in the kitchen, he's happy to look after your bags and that sort of stuff. But if you are more worried about personal belongings, they say wear knee-high socks.
Just
you
stash all your things in there.
Your phone, your wallet, your ammo, your house.
You can get one of those like armband things like gym people wear.
Yeah, he also said people wear bum bags, but bum bags.
Oh, nothing as hot as a fanny pack.
Bum bags. Yeah, it's not sexy at a festival. It's certainly not sexy at a sex party.
Jesus Christ.
Other tips are obviously consent is really important.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's easy to forget in a group environment that you've still got to make sure that consent is being given.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So always be checking for consent and feel free to say no. Just because you're naked on all fours doesn't mean you have to have sex with everybody in the room. You still only have sex with the people
it's
you want to have sex with.
It's a lesson we all got to learn at some point, but we all...
No.
So you, I'm guessing, have never been to a sex party? Have you?
No!
Blow my mind, please.
Well, no, I've never been to one either. I'm not one for group sex. I feel like more than one, and I just get way too anxious.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
That surprises me.
I'm not
I'm not being shady. Like, I just thought...
No,
you're an adventurous guy.
Not really. Are you kidding? Like,
you've sounded so.
normally people ask me, like, prompt me for a threesome. I say if I want to disappoint two people at the same time, I'd have dinner with my parents. But like a group setting, I don't like
disappointing three
people
at the moment.
Well,
so.
I would just do another live show.
153. Yeah.
So same thing. No, I'll just say that.
Oh, we're getting paid off. See you at the Saturday sessions next week, everyone.
Yeah.
So jumping right into our next topic, as all of you know, well, majority of you know, my lovely partner Joshua and I just got engaged.
Yes.
I'm super happy about it.
Joshua, stand up. Stand up and show everyone how beautiful you are. Okay, fine, fuck you then. I don't like him, I think you should call it off.
Cancelled. No.
No,
I just feel very lucky that I've found Joshua and he's really shown me how to be in a really honest and trusting relationship, because previous to Josh, I honestly haven't had any good relationships. And one of the ones that really devastated me was I unfortunately was cheated on and something really, really hard to go through. The guy, he was my very, very first boyfriend. We grew up together. We had the same circle of friends. Like, our parents knew each other. We dated for about a year. It was super, super close. And, like, towards the end of the relationship, he just got really weird and distant. And being my very first relationship as well, I was just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I have like no idea what's up with him. And sort of the last time that we hung out, we were getting ready to go to a friend's party, and he had gone to go ahead and have a shower, and he left his phone like on my bed. And I was just like, all right, I either need to like go through this guy's phone.
I saw where I was going and I got excited.
I either need to just like...
You're actually a really awful person. Like,
I know.
She was like totally not listening.
Like, oh, I'm excited for this. I either need to go through this guy's phone or I just need to see what happens. Yeah. And I was just like, nah, fuck it. I'm going through his phone. I'm going to see what's going on. To find...
It's been done, Luke.
Like, I need to find out if there is anything going on, and scrolled through his messages and unfortunately found that he had been messaging his ex-boyfriend and saying that he wanted to break up with me. And in that moment, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to turn a blind eye and act like I didn't see this. And so we got ready, went to this party, got absolutely fucking hammered because I was just like, I feel horrible
right now.
Yeah. Alcohol.
And all of a sudden, he just got really quiet and really distant. And I was just like, okay, I need to just bring it up now because that's the best time to bring up shit when you're drunk.
Yeah. At a party.
At a party in front of all your friends.
Party? No.
And so I went to him and I was just like, look, what's going on? And he turned around to me, tears streaming down his face. And he's like, I've done something and you're going to fucking hate me for it.
Yeah, right.
And I was just like, who was it? He said it wasn't just one person.
Oh, he was at that party I was at.
Yeah. The short one with the no. It was in front of everybody as well. And I looked around at everyone and I realized that they all already knew every single one of them, and they were supposed to be my friend as well.
Yeah.
Relationship after relationship that I had after that, I sort of took that emotional baggage with me and was always so mistrusting and suspicious of any partner that I'd ever had, and would always go looking for stuff. And then I ended up being single for a very long time because I realized, I was like, this isn't working. I need to stop looking for happiness within someone else and try and find it within myself.
That was one of the first things
you told me. Yeah. I remember, I feel so lucky. I feel like we are so lucky because we've been doing this podcast for just over a year, and you guys have just met when we started. And I remember the first night that we did the first, because we didn't know each other before we started doing the podcast. We'd met a few times, and then the first night we recorded, we all went for drinks, and you and I,
being the alcoves,
we're there till like 4 a.m. I was telling you about how my grandparents met and all this sort of stuff.
Oh boy, you
and
you were,
legitimately, and you were talking about. About Josh and how you had these apprehensions about going into a relationship and that sort of stuff. But you felt something special was there. And we're really lucky that we've been able to watch this beautiful relationship blossom and turn into an engagement and soon a trip around the world and then marriage, which is really beautiful and exciting. But I remember you saying that it was really hard.
Yeah, it was like 7 years. Yeah. I remember sitting at the bar and you saying you'd been single for 7 years. Yeah. You and I, we were both like,
What do you mean?
Like, I've always said, trust in relationships, that's for straight people. Like, that's a heterosexual thing. Like, I know enough about the Reddit RuPaul's Drag Race community to know homosexuals, that we're all Nancy Drews. We know when shit is going.
We
don't need trust in our relationships because we know what's happening.
I feel like everyone's gone through someone's phone at like a relationship.
Fucking literally. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Duncan's very trusting. He has no passcode on his phone. Yeah. But his passcode is having a Samsung because I don't fucking know how to use that.
Like, I love it.
It is like, it was warning signals like when I saw these green text messages popping up when we first started dating. So he's safe.
I go through your phone. I do it at recording just to check. That you're not on other podcasts. It's, like, I feel lucky in my work because I work in mental health at a psychology practice. So I got a chance to actually sit with a couples counselor this week. And she has probably the job I would want the least in the world because I don't even like hearing about my friends' relationships.
All right.
you know, like...
I'm over here then.
But let alone being in a room with when there are issues. And so I came to her and said, oh, this is something we're going to discuss, and I think there's a lot of really interesting parts of it, especially when it comes to the LGBT community.
Yeah.
And something that I sort of read up on through a few of the books that we have at work, and something that I realized in myself as well, is that sometimes as gay men or as members of our community, we kind of learn a level of distrust very early on. Yeah. Because before you come out of the closet, you essentially are keeping a very large secret to yourself for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And it can actually plant a seed in your head of, if I'm able to keep this integral part of who I am secret from the people closest to me, my family and my friends, for so long, what does that mean for the other people in my life? Mm. And it can sort of snowball into this other thing where you start thinking, well, I kept that secret. Yeah. What secrets do other people have?
Yeah, true.
And that's a really hard thing to kind of break out of as you get older.
Do you guys find that you're very giving with trust in relationships, or is it something that kind of has to be
built
up? Like, Tom, you said you've been in a relationship, like open relationships before.
One. Well, yeah. Well, actually, that's
like,
a good
was
point.
That like from the get-go?
So, no, it wasn't. So I was dating, I won't say his name, but please like me. I was dating.
Smush, shmummish.
I was dating a lovely guy, and and we were monogamous for, I think it had been about a...
like 1 whole week
or something like that. And then he slept with a friend of ours.
Did you know?
No, like, he told me. Just like called me on the way home.
Oh, by the way.
Oh.
And that opened a conversation for us about because he was very specific that he still loved me and that it wasn't because he was waning in love for me, but he just enjoys having sex. And I'd never really contemplated. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a very basic suburban white Catholic family. Yeah. I the thought of being in an open relationship hadn't crossed my mind. So then we went into the open relationship world. It was my first experience doing it. We lasted, I think, about another year after that. And for most of that, we sort of had some really defined rules about how that would work. It was very much like it can't be dates. There's no dinner. Yeah, there's no catching up again.
Sort of if you're, one-off things.
And also because he travelled a lot for work, you know, have a bit of a sex drive.
Just a little one.
The old grey mare just ain't what she used to be. So we had these rules. Then towards the end, we opened it up even more. And that's, I think, was really symptomatic more of the fact that the relationship, it was time to end. And we just weren't ready to let go. And eventually we did. And it was hard at the time, but probably a good thing. But I learned a lot about trust from that. Just going back, though, to what you're talking about the LGBTI community for us as gay men... in a way, though, I think we're there's a silver lining to the discrimination that we've faced for centuries, and that is that the fact that we're only now getting marriage equality and that our relationships can be talked about in the workplace and we're now able to be out in public about our relationships is we're getting to define the rules of how they operate.
It's a whole new world.
Whether it's monogamous or not living together, you know, we're able to decide how that works now, which is actually a really exciting thing that straight people don't get to do. My two brothers love them. They've got lovely partners that they've been with since high school, but that was laid out for them from the get-go. We're kind of in this exciting place where we get to decide how we do it and do it
create
on our own terms.
Well, trust is something I learned from Beck is trust and what is betrayal and distrust is different in every single relationship. And it's about having that conversation because betrayal can be something like watching pornography in one relationship, for example. A lot of the examples I've read about were financial. You don't tell me about your money, for example, so I don't trust you. And that's...
Findom.
That's a reference, guys. Episode 47.
Favorite topic
if you guys
we've ever
want
done.
To check it out.
I've been making some bank since that episode.
Ultimately, it's just a conversation about like what trust means to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I need is I need to be able to trust you with A, B, C, and D.
Yeah.
And
I feel like as gay men, we get to have that conversation a lot more than our.
I don't have that conversation.
Yeah, I've definitely found it. With my own personal relationships, very hard to like give trust immediately. Mm-hmm. It is something that I've had to like build towards. I know when I first started dating Duncan, he goes to a very prominent gay gym. So I was like, lots of hot people. I'm a very insecure person. I did get very
welcome
jealous.
Welcome to the
at
Sydney
times.
Gays.
Leave that Sydney shit at the door. But yeah, so Yeah, I was very not forthcoming with
James.
But
yeah,
sure. Like, I trust him with my life now. Like, it's just
I trust him something. With my life.
Yeah, he's very trustworthy person.
Look at the guy, he's built.
But I come from a bloodline of not trusting. Like, I have a certain gay...
Oh, I've met your brother,
I have a certain gay family member who I've had to help in the middle of the night because he's wiped his boyfriend's phone from entering the passcode wrong too many times. Three times. And then he convinced him that there was a glitch in the phone. So
I think I demand more with trust from friends than I do. I'm not, relationships, I don't have that many rules about how a relationship has to work. But I have, my friends are like, my gay friends especially are like my family. Yeah. And we are incredibly close. And it's probably why I only have like a very small group of friends, because there is literally nothing, like I can call them at 7 in the morning and be like, I am fucked. I am at Wet and Wellington. I need you to come and pick me up. And when you get here, I'm not going to have any clothes on because I've lost everything. And and I'm calling you off like the phone from behind the desk because I've lost my phone. And also, I need to borrow $400 to get me through the next payday. And I'm not interested in having friends that I can't do that with. And they can do the same for me. That's more I think where I demand trust in a relationship.
I trust JB with... everything. JB, I could put him up right now.
I was just looking at a different...
No, I was like, no, no,
JB's right there. Right. And
all
I could
straight
say,
men look the same to me, sorry.
We were at a bar the other night and JB knows the password to my Facebook, Instagram, bank account. Pretty much, he could yell it out right now. And I think
do
those...
It. Do you want to do it?
Now, go.
And I think those... trust in friendships are really important because the difference is when someone cheats on you and the relationship ends, you don't always have the opportunity to reconcile and fix that distrust. It's an open-ended question that then immediately, if you're like me and you just queue up the next relationship without thinking about it, you just roll that straight into the next one. Whereas with friends, it's more of a like, we've been friends for 15 years. Yeah. So any sort
which
of...
Which is a testament to your patience,
really.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's a saint. But personally for me, I've found like, I've had incidents of partners cheating on me and then it's just they're cancelled, you know.
Yeah,
they're cancelled, they're done. Thank you, next.
Yeah. Whereas we've had fights with friends where we think, oh, I'm never fucking talking to them again. Yeah. And then two days later, it's like, hey.
You reconcile and you can put that,
I'm ready to
that
be hurt
distrust
again.
Behind you. But if you're in a situation where you cut that person off and you never speak to them again, in some ways, you've never sort of reconciled that initial betrayal. Mm. And so that's a hard thing to... any suggestions, guys? I got the question. I don't have the answer, but I think that's it.
That's a playoff.
Yeah,
branding it up.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The next topic we're talking about is the Kinsey Scale.
Yes, which is fascinating.
For those of you who don't know what the Kinsey Scale is, it's a test that got created by Alfred Kinsey in 1948. Mm-hmm. It was a test to determine whether someone was gay or straight. So the test ranged from 0 to 6, 0 being exclusively heterosexual and 6 being exclusively homosexual.
Mm-hmm. So 6 being Tom.
So if you're Kinsey 6 gay, you're real gay.
I broke the scale.
So 0 to 6, It was really like influential test at the time. It really like paved the way for like the spectrum of sexuality. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really hold up as much in modern day society because their sexuality is so fluid.
But it was, so it was more integral in the beginning of understanding.
Definitely. And then I think it caused a lot of issues with bisexual people as well, because there's such a range between. But some people would say that you're only truly bisexual if you landed at three. So like a really 50-50, you're equally attracted to one side and equally attracted to the other.
Yeah.
I got us all to do the Kinsey
scale. What that was.
You just thought he actually wanted to talk to you for that.
I was just being friends.
Despite popular belief, there's not like an official test, but there's like heaps of like BuzzFeed articles and stuff like
that. Oh, good. I absolutely trust a BuzzFeed article to decide
that's
the one
we did.
That's great. It's fascinating. I mean, for me, not so much the test, but it was 1948.
1948,
that it was invented.
Yeah, so it was huge.
I think
at the time.
Of the time we think that the beginning of understanding sexuality and gender identity sort of started in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were in school back then.
In 1948. But I think we forget that this sort of stuff has been investigated and studied, and there has been very progressive thought process. I mean, the Weimar Republic is probably the best example of it. Germany, prior to the Third Reich and the Nazi Party coming to power, there was actually an incredible understanding of homosexuality and also of transgender people and all that sort of stuff. And it's important to remember that advances can be lost and why we need to keep
working
on them, because, you know, look at shit that's going on in America and that sort of stuff. I mean, even the UK was much more advanced until World War II, and then they sort of got influenced by America and stuff.
It even goes back to as far as like pre-colonization as well, especially with like the Maori culture. Like once colonization happened, that all was taken away. And they're only just now sort of having a resurgence of that in the communities and the tribes over there as well. And it's same with like Native American people. Like they recognize
indigenous people
in Australia as well. They recognize five different genders in Native America. So like it's cool that we're getting back to it.
They also believe that you didn't actually like get set with one number. It can change over time.
Right. Sorry, so we got off topic. Sorry.
Back to the Kinsey scale. So you can get gay.
Yeah, which is
you
true.
You can get gay.
I can't.
You can't, but other people can.
Other people can,
Also, it takes into account... So it's not exact like your past history of like having sex. It's also just based on what you're attracted to. So you can be like married to a man, being a woman, but attracted to women, and you could still be like completely bisexual.
Somewhere on the...
Like a three.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Okay, wait.
Who knows?
Spill the tea.
So in this BuzzFeed article, there were 8 questions... And they're all like kind of on a scale like...
So yes, no, maybe a little bit or a little bit less.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. Number one, the question was, who do you find attractive? We all answer the same with this.
Mikey.
We all answered Mikey. That was a question.
We all said... Oh my gosh, you've got hard nipples.
We all said, I'm mostly attracted to people whom are the same sex as me.
Mostly attracted to people.
I like that we're like open to...
I can definitely appreciate an attractive woman.
And the scale was kind of like, mostly attracted to same sex.
Yeah.
Exclusively.
Only you're like...
The second one was, who have you had sex with? This one was interesting because...
Mikey!
Luke and Tom have had sex
He's
with
getting
both
very angry.
Luke
Josh
Tom,
is going to meet me
outside. He's going to jump you. Watch
Luke
out.
And Tom have had sex with both men and women, whereas Mike and I have only had sex with men.
I've never had sex. So what are you talking about? I'm a good Christian lady. How dare you?
To get married.
Tom, you put it in a woman. How was that?
I have put it in a woman. What a lovely way of putting that. Thank you. That is... It was a beautiful, romantic night, and I put it in a woman.
Wow.
I did. But the first time was... So my best friend Bridie, who I've talked about on the podcast, we could not be more different people. We've known each other since kindergarten. God. She is obsessed with sports. She's a Paralympian and a motivational speaker and doesn't drink
alcohol.
Was
your first time with a... was your first time with a woman or a man?
No, I had sex with a man before that, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
So this was the night before... So we'd known each other since kindergarten. We slept at each other's house like every night throughout our entire lives. And then the night before our year 12 psychology exam, we were like studying together. And then she would always sleep in my bed and we were in bed and then we just started fucking. It's really weird.
The classic love story.
Like, hey, I'm here, you're there.
And then I had a girlfriend for a short period of time after that and I had sex with her, but haven't since then. But recently, which I've talked about before, have been looking for the possibility of a couple... whether guys bisexual that are open to
okay.
a threesome, because I'd like to have sex with a woman again, but I'm nervous I'd be really bad and I don't want to disappoint her. So I need like someone that I can tap in in case sort I'm not buffer. Doing very well.
Oh god. Yeah. Oh my god. And Luke.
Well, just a note, there will be a Q&A section at the end. Oh, so if any applicants want details. To come up for Tom's experience. I don't know. I've always said I'd try anything twice. This one I only tried once.
You're like, nope, that's
because I figured out it wasn't for me. And I was extremely drunk, unfortunately. Okay. And the whole time, I think I was imagining Scott Wolf in Party of Five.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Which dates me a little bit.
I'm sorry, Carl, you have
no idea what that was. And then immediately afterwards, the alcohol would hit me. So I like excused myself and I said, I'm sorry, this is nothing to do with you, but I am going to go vomit.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Did wonders for her confidence. Oh,
it's not you, it's me.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's so
that poor woman.
Threw up and then...
imagine
never did that
having
again.
To have sex with you and then watch you throw up. That's awful.
A lot of people have. That experience is...
Fuck.
That's not an uncommon experience.
Okay. Question three. Who do you have sexual fantasies about? So... me, Tom, Mikey all answered mostly just people of the same sex, whereas Luke said he fantasized about everyone. So don't make eye contact.
Yeah. Totally. I've had sex where... No, I haven't had sex. Sorry, I misspoke. I've had fantasies where I've had sex with like multi-dimensional beings.
Oh my God.
And I've had sex with like feelings and like representations. Oh my gosh. Like that's all weird to me.
Yeah.
That's just like
does that
normal.
Translate to the porn that you watch? Like do you watch like...
I watch a lot of anime.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of Japanese.
Do you watch like straight porn and stuff like that as well?
I will watch any type of porn that is available to
and
me.
Legal. And specifically say.
But the fun thing for me is I always... It's not really fun. Sorry, guys.
It's not fun for them either.
The fun thing for me is I think sex dreams and like sex fantasies are really where you can't like hold up... the prestige of who you think you are. Mm-hmm. For me, when it comes to sexual fantasies, my dreams really betray the kind of idea of who I am as a person.
Who did everyone have their first fantasy about?
I'm like, just wondering, and before you ask that, I'm just wondering what your sex dreams would look like.
Yeah, you've been very
going to
like...
IKEA with Duncan.
God, you're a bitch.
Getting a cappuccino.
It is really hard to put together.
Sorry, what were you saying?
Fuck you, first of all. I was saying, I wonder what all of our like first sexual fantasies were.
Oh,
like,
when
was
I
your
first
gay like sexual fantasy? I'd say for me, there was a Robin Williams music video. What's that one when he like strips? And I was like, I shouldn't be watching this. Rock DJ or something? Is that
Robbie Williams?
Robin Williams? Oh, not Genie. Not Genie. No, he's not that sexy. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Oh, boy. I punched that one.
Fuck yeah.
Robbie
that
Williams.
That genie in Aladdin. Oh,
no.
Goodness.
You could rub something.
Rub my lamp, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the I one remember... Like... Okay, so I'm of that... We're of that generation where computers were very new things when we were about...
Oh, you fucked a computer.
And so we got the internet at home and I was like one of the first people at school to get the internet and so started looking at porn. But of course, this isn't the day where...
You had
there was
to wait
no
like 10
videos.
Minutes for an image.
Yeah.
Just images.
There was no videos and you'd click on a thing and then you'd like go put the kettle on, watch some TV and it would sort of slowly be loading
oh,
like this.
Oh, shit.
And you'd just be waiting. And sometimes you'd come before it even got like... to the knob of the dick, like. But I remember because you know we unfortunately all grow up in this straight society and make the assumption that we're like everybody else. So I was looking at straight porn, and then I realized that I was focusing more on the guys in the straight porn than I was on the girls, and that's I think what gave me the first spark of the idea. Yes. And then fantasy wise, I guess it was like guys I went to school with and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Mine was Casper the Friendly
Casper.
Ghost.
Casper. Oh my God.
I had a very like strong bond with Casper.
Yeah.
His dog died in
does
one
that make
of
you
those
necrophilic?
Cartoons.
Oh,
that yeah.
And a pedophile.
Yeah, he was also a kid.
Just, oh, a child.
That's right. You were, you please, were as well. It's okay.
The police are waiting outside. This is to catch a predator.
I because you're young when those like desires start bubbling up.
Yeah.
And you're watching a lot of cartoons, so for me, like, the earliest gay crushes I had were all animated.
Yeah.
Wolverine, like, Wolverine.
No, he's good.
That's gay bait. That is not for
you know who my first one, I just, like, had a recollection. It was Freddy from
Freddy Krueger?
No, Scooby-Doo. Jesus. Like, Fred. I was like, Fred, with your necktie. So cute.
I was like, you really want a hand job from Freddy Krueger?
With his little ascot.
Yeah.
I just remembered, there's probably like two people in the room that are going to get this reference, but Diver Dan from Sea Change.
Diver Dan.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we're moving to the next question.
Oh, no, I want to do a whole topic about Sea Change.
No. Yeah. Okay, four. With whom do you form strong emotional bonds? Tom and Luke said, I have close friends of both sexes. Mm-hmm. And Mike and I said, I'm close to people of the other sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do find what girls make easier friends.
Yeah, growing up, I was always like, had way more female friends than I did male friends because, like, all the guys at school were fucking
I was like,
I'm scared of you all. Yeah. Hell no. Like, and women are fucking beautiful. They're amazing. They're my favorite.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree, growing up, it was much easier for me to make friends with the girls than the guys. But now, I think working a lot in the physical gay space, I meet a lot of gay men, so I make a lot of friends with them, and I have a lot of friends that are female of either sexuality. But yeah, growing up, absolutely, I would agree with that.
Question five. Who do you feel most comfortable socializing with?
Mikey.
Mikey. Tom said, I find myself mostly spending time with people of the same sex. Why do you hate women? Anyway, the rest of us said, I'm most friendly with people of the other sex. So it's kind of the same thing. Question six. Think about people you socialize with most often. How do you think they identify? Luke said, most straight people, but I've got a few gay and bi friends. And then Tom said, mostly gay, but I'm friends with a few straight and bi people. And then Mike and I said, I'm friends with plenty of gay, straight, and bi people. Mm-hmm. We're so accepting.
You're so middle of the road.
Oh, yeah.
I like a variety in my people, you know?
Social butterflies.
Yes,
for
just anyone
us.
And everyone.
My
just
three
be my
friends
friend.
Are literally there.
Yeah.
And that's what I based all these
on. You know how the producer said to us we could have four free tickets each? I used one.
Tom's response was give them away.
Yeah, I said sell them. We want the money, you know.
Just threw them off the top of a bridge. Just like... Number seven, how would you identify yourself to others? So I said gay mostly. And then Tom and Mikey said gay. And Luke said, I don't like labels.
She's different.
She's alternative.
Yeah.
Do you use the term gay to identify or more queer?
I don't like the word gay. It's weird.
I use queer.
Yeah.
I use queer because gay had... And we've talked about it on the show, but...
Yeah, we've spoken about it quite a bit.
When I first came out as gay... That was a community that wasn't... And it was my own choices. I'm not making any judgment calls on the gay community, but the choices I had made led me into a scenario where I didn't feel very accepted, mainly because of my comments about Casper the Friendly Ghost. And so it wasn't until in the recent years that queer has had a resurgence and a... Oh, my God, I almost said rebranding. The queer... has sort of come into its own as this more umbrella term for people that don't quite fit within the other letters that I went, oh, okay, no, this is the one that I feel really comfortable and confident.
Yeah.
It feels right for me and for how I view myself. So that is the one that I chose.
Queer is a wonderful term and I do also identify as queer, but I'm also very defensive of the term gay, I think. I'm concerned. A little while ago at Honcho Disco, I met this guy and I said, he was the sibling of a colleague.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, I didn't know, because he was making out with a guy. I said, I didn't know you were gay. He said, I'm not gay, I'm queer. Mm-hmm. And then we had a discussion about it. And the perception I got was that he didn't like the term gay because of what other people's perception of gay is.
Oh.
And that sort of irked me a little bit is that
is that like internalizing?
There's nothing wrong with being gay. Like if straight people don't like the term gay and you go, oh yeah, I don't want to be part of that thing. Yeah. That is a concern for me.
Yeah.
Which is not, I'm not saying is what you feel.
Yeah, I know you're not coming for me. But
you'd know.
I definitely don't.
I'd say something about that outfit if I was going to come for
it. It's happened enough. I definitely think there's a correlation between identifying as queer and being a person of colour.
Sure,
as
absolutely.
Because there is a certain demographic mm-hmm. or a certain perception mm-hmm. of the word gay yeah. that just hasn't felt quite comfortable. I know you yeah. also have
very much the same
identified as queer in the mm-hmm. past, and because of our own personal experiences. So it's much of a, like, it's how we identify for ourselves. Mm. And yeah. I respect that we have a history. Like, we can't lose the word yeah. gay. We can't lose the history behind that and the community and the work that's been done. Mm-hmm. And I do know that there may be some fears that the queer, like an umbrella term, yeah. may then lessen the yeah, importance great, of yeah. the other letters within our alphabet.
Anything that that sort of amalgamates our community back together again, mm-hmm. I think is a wonderful thing. So yeah. yeah.
Question eight.
You're boring.
Question eight, guys.
Remember this.
Still with us.
What do you think of yourself as? So Tom and Luke said, I've only ever considered myself as homosexual.
Mm-hmm. That was a hard one to answer like, because yeah, not only ever, but mostly yeah. since I've been
Mikey,
sexually aware.
Mike yeah. and I said I consider myself mostly homosexual, yeah. but not strictly. Yeah, I consider myself straight curious.
Yeah, same here. Like I'm like 99% sure that I'm yeah. homosexual, but like I never want to say...
the marriage is off.
Like, I never want to say never to, like, a yeah. new experience. And uh-huh. I think yeah. I've always been open
also,
to...
Also, I feel like, would girls want to have sex with a gay guy that's, like, only yeah. ever had sex with...
Not you, but...
Well,
other,
probably yeah. not. But, but yeah, that's also, like, a thing.
I mean, I think a straight guy can have sex with a guy and still be a straight guy. So I think mm-hmm. I can be a gay guy that is open to having sex with a woman and still mm-hmm. be a gay guy. Or yeah. homosexual guy is the yeah. question asked, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was scores? All the questions. So we actually all scored the same. Oh. Mostly gay is the answer, and that's
mostly
like a
gay. Mostly.
Yeah, mostly gay. I like the word mostly, so it's like open a little bit to.
We can welcome to the mostly gays are revolting.
Mostly gays are changing our name.
A definitive weekly news source for mostly gays.
All right, so we're going to mix it up a little bit. And yes. for the last segment of tonight's show, I'd love a little bit of the red wine, if Tom has any of there. We're actually joined by a guest. So Trey Turner, a queer Indigenous person living in Melbourne, has agreed to join us. So everyone, please put your hands together for Trey. Fierce.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Make yourself comfortable and thank you so much for joining us.
Do you want me to shuffle that around?
Shuffle. Oh, wait, you're right.
We can do a bit of shuffle if you guys need to adjust how you're sitting or anything like that. Now's the time to do it. Trey, could you firstly tell us a little bit about your upbringing, especially within the Indigenous community, just for the audience and for ourselves?
Yeah. So I'm an Arrernte person from Alice Springs. And moved away from Alice Springs as pretty much soon as I was born, and just lived along the west coast, yeah, the east coast. And now I've been living in Melbourne for the past 3 years.
Well, last week was NAIDOC Week, which celebrates the history and culture and achievements of Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islanders. Can you just tell us a little bit about what cultural and educational sort of activities that happen during the week?
Yeah, there's a fuck ton.
Yeah.
Is that on the posters?
Yeah. Standard fuck unit ton. Measurement.
Fuck yeah, ton. Love it.
Week, fuck ton of Indigenous events. Yeah, so there's so many that I'm not going to name many of them, but there's like Victoria has 2 weeks because, you know, classic Victoria just has to suck their own dick a little bit.
Yeah. Sydney's got 1 week, we'll have two, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, there's... like the NAIDOC Ball, there's like the Pride NAIDOC Night, there's the marches that happen, there's like yarns with elders and stuff that are happening all around the 2 weeks. There was this amazing event at the museum that was called the River of Language, and you went into the Bunjalaka Centre and just went along the exploration of Victorian Indigenous languages.
Mm. Awesome. Yeah. Well, so you mentioned the Pride Night. Pride Night. You performed at the NAIDOC Pride Night, which is an event for emerging community leaders, where you were crowned the 2019 Victorian NAIDOC LGBTQIA plus Pride winner.
Yes.
Along with fellow Indigenous performer Astro. Can you tell us a little bit more about that specific event?
Yeah, so the Pride night was just for, not just for, but it was, you know, a community night for black queers to come in and perform and kind of show off themselves. And there were other community members. They didn't perform, but they were just talking about their social activism and what they do. And there was a comedian that was there. And so it wasn't just like drag performers, but just queer community members. And yeah, throughout the night, just
so cool.
All did our deadly stuff, and then I won.
Amazing. And I'm not surprised.
So you perform as your drag persona, Stone Motherless Cold. I love that name. Super cute. In what way does your drag persona sort of allow you to express your Indigenous culture?
So it's interesting because I guess like people would normally assume that, you know, queerness is separated from Indigenous culture. So people are like, how can drag be Indigenous? But there's really interesting stuff and really interesting research that's going into like the queer identities that were happening, you know, pre-invasion, and all the different gender identities that all the different societies had in Australia and stuff. And, you know, I've had an amazing, after NAIDOCBO, I had an amazing PhD researcher come up to me and just like, yeah, so, you know, you're painting yourself up, and this is what we've been doing, like dressing yourself up and performing in front of people. Yeah. Like, that's obviously not all of us, but there's a very large aspect of that being culture, and I guess myself taking not contemporary, but drag culture, and trying to use that to explore all my identities.
Mm. I love your drag name. How did you come up with that?
Stone comes from Patsy Stone from Abfab.
Oh, heaven!
I love it even more, sweetie darling.
But also comes from a reclamation of how I just throughout all my life people said that I was a really bitchy person and would always...
I don't believe it.
No. Would always have people like do the classic, oh, I thought you were a real cunt when I first met you.
Yeah. Tell us how you really feel.
Like, it's wow. Our first C-bomb of the night. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, we like it.
Okay, cool. But yeah, so I guess it's like a reclamation of just having that bitchy stone cold face. And motherless comes from that I don't have a drag mom.
Uh-huh.
And just started doing drag myself
in
Melbourne.
But so you don't have a drag mom, but you actually have been quite instrumental in creating some wonderful opportunities for other drag performers. You've produced a lot of Aboriginal arts events, including some at the Yirrumboy Festival, which was finished a month ago? Right?
Sure.
Yeah, around about that. We all drink, you know. Right? It's hard to remember. Now, Miss First Nation was a talent-based pageant for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander drag entertainers, which was staged for the first time in Melbourne. It's been done in Darwin for a while, but first time in Melbourne at the Yirrumboy Festival this year. What does it mean to see fellow Indigenous drag entertainers hitting the stage? It's obviously probably inspirational, but yeah.
It's very inspirational. It's inspirational to see that all these different artists have come from all over Australia and coming together to help create like a Indigenous drag community that I was struggling to have when I first, still struggling to have. Like, it's not that extensive, and you know, we're all doing our own thing, so it's like hard to have a set physical kind of community in terms of like Indigenous drag. But yeah, it's amazing to see all these different drag artists from all across Australia doing their thing, and like lots of visibility in terms of that. And yeah, it's just inspirational because they all look really, really good.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, that's... We can look good.
So you look fucking
and she
good.
Does. She does.
Now, you said you don't have a drag mother. Have you become a drag mother? Drag children?
I have started a drag house.
Oh, yes.
The
Stone Cold House?
The Motherless House.
Oh. Motherless House.
Motherless House.
Yeah, and that's just to get the friends and people that are around me that I love, and always they're like, oh yeah, I want to do drag too. I'm like, okay, cool, do it.
Do you have a lot of people in your house now?
I have four people in the house.
Who are they? What are their drag names?
I have Cerulean, I have Perth, and I also have...
Perth is the drag name.
Perth is a drag name.
Amazing. I love it.
Because they're from, I don't know, where?
Brisbane.
Dandenong, yeah.
They just really love Perth, yeah. And also Brookaki.
Oh, so good.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think it's really interesting that you've talked about some of the historical queer roles in Indigenous culture, because I think we've all sort of aware of and read articles about sister brothers and
brother boys. Sister girls and brother boys.
And we know that there are representations within Indigenous communities for that. And the other thought I was having when I was looking at these are they are quite gender-based, you know. Identifying as non-binary or being something that's in between those, have you found that a different space within your own community? Is it something that already exists but we're just not talking about it? I'm just really fascinated by that.
So, yes, I put a lot of thought into just this general concept of gender in Indigenous communities. But the idea of it being binary, I think, is very colonial.
Yeah.
And I've talked to heaps of people and heard heaps of stories that if there's a trans woman or if there's a trans man or, like, you know, whatever, then they play that role. Mm-hmm. If they're a woman, then they're a woman.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they're a man, they're a man. But in, I guess, saying... like gender roles is colonial because it's we have these family ties and stuff to it's not based on like I wouldn't say it's necessarily based on like your genitals. It's not mm-hmm. if you have a vagina therefore you're a woman, and it's because it's we have, you know, we have our aunties and our uncles and stuff. It doesn't have to be our biological auntie. It doesn't have to be our biological uncle.
You have it's those the family
role.
Roles.
It's the role that you play. Yeah, right. And so if you're a woman, then you'll be a woman. And so you're expected to play the woman's role in that society or men, vice versa. So I guess kind of trying to put a binary, like a colonial binary on... Indigenous gender is just not possible because it's not based on...
It always feels like something's lost in the translation. When you read these articles, it's obvious that potentially the person writing it is not a part of that community. And so it always feels like, I don't feel like I'm getting the full scope of what this actually is. So... that's why I really appreciate you being here tonight and being able to talk to us all to let us sort of learn that there's something in between and that it isn't, you know, I hate to make white people jokes. But
I don't.
Do it so well.
But I do it so well. That it's like Mike even said before, but that some of these roles existed before sort of white people introduced the names for them and then we kind of rigidly fit into them.
Yeah, so. It's the struggle of having to, like, the colonial, like, trying to put Indigenous gender identities in these colonial
to
structures.
To fit it in,
just so that we're able to talk about it and understand it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just... colonialism, cool.
And Trey, there's a lot of really good organizations that support Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander LGBTQIA+ people, like Black Rainbow. Suicide is the leading cause of death in Aboriginal communities for young people. How would you say that impacts the community?
I wouldn't say the statistic impacts, but like societal pressures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a hectic, like a few years ago, there was a 13-year-old queer teenager that committed suicide because they were just facing a lot of pressure from outside forces. And there's like you get there's pressures from white society for you to be this certain type of queer person, and then there's pressures from Indigenous community to be this certain type of Indigenous person, and the lack of visibility of, like, there are actually people out there, there are Indigenous queer elders that are out there living their lives, and they're happy and successful, and, you know,
positive stories.
Yeah, you can live these lives as both a queer and black person in Australia, but there's just a lack of it. And so there are these, you know, young kids, young kids that are struggling with and just trying to justify to themselves that they can be both these things. I know I did that. I was like, how can I be both black and queer? How can I... And then having these, like, colonial expectations of being black and, like you said, you know, we read these things and we're like, okay, cool, there's a man and there's a woman in Indigenous society. So it's like, how do I, as an Indigenous person, read these things when there's a lack of also traditional knowledge that I get? I didn't grow up in Alice Springs, so I unfortunately don't have that much traditional knowledge. And so I don't really know how I know that we only have one pronoun and that's used for everybody.
Oh, wow.
But we also have words for, like, gender roles, which is really fascinating, because it's just like, if that's the role you play in that society,
that's the
role you play. If you're a mother, you're a mother. And I think it's kind of very similar to how queer people and how we have our queer families and our chosen families. And it's
and
like, you have the mother, you have the mother.
Great.
These are the roles you play. And
What does organizations like Black Rainbow do to help?
So Black Rainbow is a very specific one for, like, suicide.
And is it like a hotline, or do they do, like, meetings, or?
Like an organization, I guess, like, I think they have a hotline. I'm not entirely sure. But I'm not that entire. That's the only national one.
Do you know of any other ones?
I actually don't. Okay. And I think I had this question before, and it was like, you know, what do you feel about Black Rainbow? And I'm like, why is that the only one?
to be out there and be something that we recognize.
I mean, I'm sure,
like,
there's more community-based ones and stuff, but that's the only national black queer charity organization.
Oh, is it my shot? Oh, sorry. I was just having a nice chat. Now, you mentioned before that you live in Melbourne, and you've been here for a few years, working to increase visibility for other Indigenous LGBTI people that don't have the access to the resources that you do, or that people living in inner cities do. How can white Australians like myself help to be the best allies possible to our queer Indigenous siblings?
Yeah, so I guess just, like, shut up and listen.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was doing. I couldn't even read
like, You're doing well. There you go.
She's telling you the truth.
I'm not going to praise you, but, like, cool.
Oh, I fucking love you.
So good.
Yeah, I guess... Yeah, shut up and listen. You know, there's NAIDOC Week, you know, which we have running for 2 weeks, and there's just events all running through. Like, I'm studying linguistics, so the River of Languages was a very fascinating part to me. And there's going to be events that, like, if you're interested in something, which I'm sure, I hope you are, then there's going to be a NAIDOC event that will be about that, or that will, you know, can... You can try and connect to or translate your thinking of that into that, and, you know, learn a bit more about the how the people of this land dealt with those issues, and how and you can kind of relate to how you deal with it. I know, yeah, like, just listening. Also, don't come up to me and say that my drag daughter was better than me, and you have, like,
This is like a personal note for someone.
Yeah. Very specific.
To the French guy who, like, to the French white guy that had dreadlocks, fuck off. Yeah.
That will remain in the episode, everyone. Yeah. Reach the French guy with the dreadlocks. Trey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate it.
You're amazing. Thank you.
So good.
Thank you. Great. Yeah, that's our show. Thank you everyone for coming and supporting us and listening to our podcast. Please tell your friends and continue listening.
Yeah. That Q&A section will be our after show. So thank you for creating paid content for our...
Thank you everyone that has subscribed to our Patreon. You still can do that. It really does help us continue to build this show and keep
and
doing live shows and tour. And who knows what we'll do next.
I really want to say a really big thank you to our producer, Dan. Because without him,
the
show
we would not be here without him.
Thank you, Dan. We love you so much.
Dan, every week, Dan has to listen to us ramble on for hours.
Exactly, very good. Don't forget, come along to DT's for our unofficial after party.
DT's Hotel in Richmond, free entry, free shots. I would like to. So this is actually going to be the last episode that Marky's on for 6 months. So the episode that will come out tomorrow is just me and Marky and our mums, and it is fucking adorable.
You guys will love it. It's
our mums are now
best friends.
They've decided that they're going to be each other's lesbian beards.
Yes.
Oh, no.
So that they can go out to gay bars together and pretend to be together.
Oh, wow.
It's very, very cute. So listen to that. But then this episode will come out next weekend. And it's Mikey's last episode for 6 months. So I'd like to, everyone, a big round of applause to congratulate Mikey and Josh on their engagement.
Yay!
Thank you.
We are going to miss you so much. But he has... promised us he'll be back in 2020 just in time for the next live show at Midsummer Festival.
Ready to go. We are the Melbourne Gays.
Bye everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Poppy's at the door.
She's running. Run, girl, run.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.